Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist, with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.
Have you heard the legend?
Yeah! Kickstart your weekend with the man who dominated the footy field like no other.
Chicken!
Wayne Carey. And the sports journo who's done it all, Mark Howard.
For Harvey Norman, your king-size capacity laundry specialist.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Indeed it is. Good morning, Melbourne. And have we got a show lined up today? I've got bits of paper everywhere with guest names on it. Wayne Schwoss is going to join us. Greg Russ from the V8s in Adelaide. Farron Ray from the Kangaroos. The world's best jockey, Damien Oliver. Garth Tander. Fitzy from the tennis. A bloke that's about to run 8 full Ironmans in 8 days as I welcome Wayne Carey. We're going to have to go till 3 o'clock this afternoon.
G'day, Howie. Unbelievable lineup, and what a beautiful morning it is here in Melbourne. Obviously, you're in Adelaide for the big car race over there, the V8s, which is an exciting weekend in Adelaide.
Well, they go off, to put it mildly, Duck. I was out for dinner last night, and there was a gentleman that had certainly enjoyed the day, it would be fair to say. 39 in Adelaide today, Duck. Do you know how hot that means it will get in the motor vehicles today?
Well, I know that it'll get 39 if you said it's going to reach to 39, but how hot in the vehicle?
70 plus.
Wow.
70 plus, to the point where I've been told come the end of the race, the boys can hardly put their feet on the pedals because they get burnt.
70 plus. That is unbelievable. They obviously carry a fair bit of fluid while they're driving. Yeah.
Well, they do, but yeah. They invest all this money in cars, and you know what they don't have?
A drink bottle.
Air conditioner.
No sort air conditioner.
Out, boys.
What?
Sort it out.
Oh, put the window down.
Magnificent effort yesterday in the Davis Cup after we lost the first match in the rubber, and then Bernard Tomic tied it back up at one apiece. You can see all the action live on 7 today at midday and on Sunday from 11 o'clock. And it's a great pleasure to welcome a legend of Australian tennis to the show, John Fitzgerald. Hello, Fitzy.
Hello, Mark. Don't stretch the truth too much there.
No, I'm not stretching the truth. I love you and your involvement at the Davis Cup when you were captain and the passion you used to bring to the whole show. Now you're down there heavily involved with the network. Tell us, yesterday it didn't get off to the best start. The big American John Isner, he's a powerful presence, isn't he?
Yeah, look, Mark, he's a heck of a player, and we shouldn't underestimate him. He's currently ranked 11 in the world, and he's been inside the top 10. So, look, I think it's only fair to say that he was maybe not heavy favourite, but he was certainly the favourite yesterday against Sam Groth. And Sam matched it with him for a set, but probably went off a little bit in the second and third where he couldn't sustain the consistency against Isner. So, look, the better player won that match, but gee, Bernard came back and we're still in it, Mark.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see Bernard Tomic. I don't want to get too carried away, but is this a big turning point in his career? He's gradually gone up and up and up the rank. He's in the top 20 now, but Davis Cup at home against the Americans, you're down 0-1, and to come out and win a match like that with the passion and the crowd on the grass at the home of tennis in Melbourne, I thought it was absolutely fantastic, Fitzy.
Yeah, look, he has matured. He's got a way to go, I think, but he's learning, and he's, you'd hope so. He's 23 now, in his early 20s, and he needs to really get the best out of himself. But no one can take away his record in Davis Cup so far in his career. It's very impressive. He's won the vast majority of matches he's played for us, and I think Leighton sort of inspires him a bit. I think he wants to follow in his footsteps a little bit in terms of Davis Cup. And look, he did us proud yesterday. He worried me a little bit in the third set where he still has this habit of sort of dropping his concentration levels or something. He went away for a set in the third, and not everyone can snap their fingers and turn it on again. You open the door for a good opposition, and they can drive through and end up beating him in five sets. So, look, he got out of it. He got out of the fourth set, but the only thing I'm concerned about is when he goes off the boil for a full set. And But apart from that, Mark, he deserved his win, and he was the better player in the second match.
All right, John, I've been putting this question off, but it's the obvious one. Is Leighton Hewitt going to be playing Davis Cup in the doubles for Australia today, in your opinion?
I don't think he'll play doubles today, but I think, and I don't know yet. I mean, they have to make that decision in about 30 minutes, actually. They have to make it. So, make that an hour and a half. They have to make that decision. So, look, I think he'll leave himself open to possibly playing singles on the last day if Australia needs him. I think the doubles for us is pushing uphill. We're playing, you know, the, in terms of results, the best doubles team in men's tennis history, the Bryan brothers, and they're going to be hard to beat no matter who plays against them today. But I think Sam Groth and John Peers will play today.
Right.
But I think the opportunity is still there for Leighton to play the last and fifth rubber if we need him to.
Well, you, as you say, you're setting it up. So if we were to get rolled today and then Bernie plays the first reverse singles and wins, that means she's two apiece and Leighton steps
right
on court in a singles match with the tie on the line. In some ways, that'd be perfect for Australian tennis. Gee, it'd be a big build-up if that occurs.
Oh, it would. It would. That'd be... Look, it's a strange scenario, Mark. You know, I mean, he was retired a month ago, so it's all a bit strange that he's there, but circumstances have contributed to that. And look, he has been hitting a lot of balls since then anyway. So I think he'd be ready to play, Leighton. It's also a matter of how tired he is with all the other pressures surrounding him, I think, this past week and a half. He looked a bit tired to me sitting on the side of the court yesterday, and I don't think he could play more than one match. You know, that's
right,
my gut feeling. And I think the singles is the best chance for him to win. And so I don't think he'll play doubles today, but don't be surprised if it is 2-2 that he would come out tomorrow. That's what I think.
Well, he's got a long and storied career in Davis Cup for Australia. If that occurs tomorrow, I think the whole nation will be tuning in to watch and listen to your commentary. Fitzy, we appreciate your time. Have a great day out there at Kooyong. It'll be great to see if the boys could get one over the Bryant brothers, which would be a tough job. Thanks, Fitzy.
Good on you, Mark. Pleasure to be with you, mate.
Great to speak to John Fitzgerald. Dominates on the commentary for Network 7. You can see all the tennis today from midday and Sunday from 11 o'clock. You may see Leighton Hewitt playing in a deciding tie. How good would that be? Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, I rang you during the week and you said, mate, I need to call you back because I've got an issue developing as we speak and it involves the police. And at that point I hung up and I left you to it, to be honest.
Well, I tell you what, I did. I got an email from Australia Post and
yep,
I opened it up and it was from the AFP, the Australian Federal Police. And it said,
that's a whole new level.
It said that I'd been subpoenaed to appear and it had my case number and everything else. And it said, go to your local police station and all that sort of stuff. And I had a few meetings to go to and I'm sitting there, I'm backtracking and I'm going back. I'm going, no, what? I'm thinking, you know, they haven't done anything wrong. What, you know, what could it be? Could it be a bill that you haven't paid and you know, it may have gone to another address and you've overlooked it. And then I'm thinking, the Australian Federal Police wouldn't get it.
I don't think they'd chase you up for a gas bill, boy.
Well, this is my point. So I'm racking my brain and I just thought, no, it got too much. And I actually had to go into the AFL and I had a spare half an hour. So I popped into South Melbourne Police Station, walked in with my phone and stood in there. They made me stand in there. No one was at the front desk. Stood in there for about 3 or 4 minutes looking around the room and I'm going, oh, you know, what is this? And, you know, I must admit, I'm just thinking, what could it possibly be? And the guys came out and I just sort of handed them my phone with the email and with the case number and everything on it. And I just said, oh, boys, what have I done now? And
nice to see you again, Mr. Carey.
And the guy just, both police officers, very nice young men, both just said, they just started laughing and they said, it's a massive hoax. It's, you know, these emails have been going around. They had 2,000 calls that day from people that had emails from Australia Post and the Australian Federal, and they said, anyway,
a scam.
It's a scam, yeah. And so anyway, they could just see my face and see my whole body language just relax. They said, you can breathe now, Wayne, it's okay. I said, thank you very much, and just walked out of there a very, very relieved person. But I just didn't know what it could possibly be, and you just never know. I mean, I tell you what, it is a hoax, obviously, but the way it's written and the way it's sent out, you know.
So for anyone out there that might have got a similar thing, Duck, yeah. So it's an email. Who's the email?
Email's from Australia Post. So it
right.
comes through under the heading. And then when you, open it up. So you hit on the email and then it's Australian Federal Police. You've been subpoenaed. You have 17 days to reply, all of that sort of stuff. So you know, it looks all legit. And it says, I did have a couple of question marks because it says click here to open your case and see what the charges or what you have to appear for. And I opened that up and it was in German. I thought,
have you ever been to Germany?
No, yes, I have. But
well, there you go. Then you got worried, didn't you?
No, but I just thought
the old Oktoberfest has gone wrong 20 years ago, didn't it?
When it was in Germany, I thought, oh, this just doesn't feel right. But anyway, I was a much relieved man. It was, you just don't like to get those types of emails, and these, and the fact that I've now opened that email, just a warning to everyone. I don't do telephone banking or, you know, online banking or anything like that on my phone. But once you've opened that, apparently they can hack into all of those types of things. So, just for anyone out there that gets that email, it's a hoax.
Can I give you one bit of advice?
Yep.
When you get that email from Nigeria saying you've just won $5.9 million,
I get that one, Howie.
Don't reply to a ducky.
No. Don't turn up to the. To the Tats Lotto and put my hand out.
No, mate. Doctor, feature Group 1 Australian Guineas is on today. So much to look forward to. And you said you only wanted to speak to one man, the best jockey in the country.
He is the best jockey in the country. And before we introduce the best jockey in the country, and we know who that is, it's quite obvious, Damien Oliver. But before we do, I want to tell you a quick story and then we'll get his reaction so he can listen to this, Howie. And then,
all right.
Well, many, many years ago, before he rode his first Melbourne Cup winner, I rang him. We used to catch up for dinner every now and then at mutual friend's place in Richmond. And I rang him before a Melbourne Cup and I said, how do you think you'll go? And I remember he said, remind me to ring you before a grand final. Wasn't too happy about it as I introduced the great Damien Oliver. Do you remember that, Ollie?
I remember that well, Duck.
Well, I tell you what.
I can return the favour. I can remember that.
Too. Well, it ended up being a good luck charm because you won your first Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I could take a call from you any time before a Melbourne Cup. It means I'm going to win it, mate.
Beautiful.
What's on this weekend for you, mate? The Australian Guineas, Jamaica in the 1600 metre race is what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, it's a great race. You know, it's a really strong race. A lot of depth in the race. She's the Oaks winner of last year, of course. So it's a little bit on the short side for the distance for her. She's sort of heading towards the Oaks up in Sydney. But if they run along up in front, she's not without a chance of steaming home late.
I'll tell you what, and it's not a bad little earn. $750,000 for this Group 1.
Yeah, the prize money's great. And as I said, it's a great field. We've got a really good horse with big spruiks on it from New Zealand called Extravagant that's coming over. You know, we've got the Derby winner of Tarzino and also Darren Weir's two really nice horses, Mahuta and Palantino. So there's a lot of depth in the race, and it should be a really exciting race.
Now, Ollie, we've got a massive racing following out there. Tell us a couple of your other nicer rides today.
I really think Devon's got a great chance in the last race. He's probably one of my better rides. And, I'm thinking the two-year-old might run well too in race two, but it's drawn in barrier one. I'm just hoping that's the right side of the track because sometimes in recent times the outside of the track has been a little bit faster down the straight. So fingers crossed for that one as well.
Damien Oliver is with us. Australian Guineas Day today, continuing the Flemington Festival of Racing. You can get tickets at tickertech.com.au. At the gate, entries free for children under 16 years of age. If you've got an adult with you, Duck, continue. You are a horse racing expert.
No, well, I want to delve in a little bit more, Howie, to what
a bit deeper.
What it's like to be a jockey. Because as I said, we used to catch up many, many years ago to, you know, have dinner every now and then. And I'd be eating a nice big steak with chops
and veggies
and everything else. And Damien would be having a marinated lettuce leaf. And is that still the hardest? How do you go? I mean, I think we're around a similar age, Ollie. I think we're in our sort of 40s. Right. And is that still the hardest thing, is, you know, the food and keeping your weight down?
Yeah, it's you kind of get used to it after a while. Just the night before a race, I'll back off the food and might have a bit of fish and some salad and that sort of thing. I still try and give myself a little bit of a spoil 1 or 2 days a week where I can sort of eat what I like and, have a few quiet drinks and that sort of thing. But you think you've got to reward yourself now and again. But sort of leading into a race, I'll back off the food and spend a bit of time in the sauna in the morning of the race as well. But my weight's probably stabilised a little bit as I've got older, and you just get a bit smarter in how to manage your weight and understand your body a little bit better as well.
What's your one weakness, Ollie? For me, the old Ben and Jerry's cookies and cream or the New York chocolate fudge is really hard to walk past. What about yourself? What's the one thing you think, oh, when I retire, I'm going to hoe right into that?
Yeah, when I retire, I don't know if I have one like that, but when I'm actually losing weight, I crave a lot of sweet things like soft lollies and even soft drink. That's something I crave, the sugar, I think. So that's probably a little bit of my weakness that I have at the moment.
So where does the motivation keep coming from, Ollie? Obviously, you're heralded in this country and around the world as a superstar. You've won, you know, 4 Caulfield Cups, a couple of Cox Plates, 3 Melbourne Cups. You still get up in the morning and go to track work. What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Well, I still really enjoy the competition. I think as jockeys, we're pretty fortunate that we can do it into a later age. We don't have to actually do the running. The horses do that. So if we can stay injury-free and still have our, I suppose, our sharpness and our competitive nature, that we can do it into an older age. And I still enjoy that competitive spirit amongst the jockeys and the competition of actually racing. So that's something I really enjoy. And you know, I'm getting into the twilight of my career, obviously, now, and enjoying it for as long as I can do it.
Talk about enjoy. You love your surfing as well. Howie thinks he's a surfer, Ollie. Have you had a surf lately?
Yeah, I'm not getting to do as much as I like. I actually ducked down for one yesterday, but speaking of Howie, one of the best drop-in merchants you've ever seen in your life.
Drop-in Howie?
That's not true. The problem with Damien is he thinks because he's the world's best jockey that he can go to someone else's beach and catch every wave there and that'll be okay. Ollie, we appreciate your time. Be nice to see you out in the water again. As we said, best of luck today. It's the Australian Guineas Day, and as per usual, a lot of people won't be looking at the horses. They'll be looking at who you're riding, and that's who they'll be backing. May you bring them and yourself plenty of joy today. Always a treat to have a chat with you, Damien.
Thanks, guys. And don't forget, it's the grazing trail out there today too. So a lot of the fine restaurants and wineries have got nice little food stalls and some nice wines to choose from out in the lawn there at Flemington. So with the nice weather, it's a good day to get out there and sample that.
Good on you, Ollie.
Steer clear of the ice cream, mate, out there.
Save one for me, Howie.
That's it. Great to speak to Damien Oliver. Still plenty on the show. Dead Set Legends, Farron Ray, not too far away on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, the Kangaroos are heading to Wagga to play football today.
It's Wagga Wagga.
Why bother with the second Wagga?
Well, because do you know what Wagga Wagga means?
No.
The land of many crows.
The land of many crows?
Yeah. Well, something like that anyway.
You just made that up.
No. Dead serious. It is the land, something about many crows.
All right. Well, Farron Ray, he's heading up there, the ex-saint now, kangaroo man. Hello, Farron. Did you know that, brother?
I didn't, boys. Sorry to interrupt you there, but I didn't know that. But I knew the duck was a great man of Wagga Wagga. So, yeah.
Well,
how are you going?
Yeah, very good, Farron. Now, it's obviously very, very hot up there. It's only early in the morning, but is it hot already?
It is. It was hot yesterday too. I think the heat policy is in play today, the coach said. So I think it's 22-minute quarters, but I've played in hotter. But yeah, she's fairly hot up here. But I'm looking forward to a run, my second game in the blue and white, so hopefully it'll all go well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how are you settling in? And much, you know, obviously footy clubs, they're all generally the same. Many differences between the great club of St Kilda and the Kangaroos?
Settled in really well. I'm blown away of how good it's been. The guys are ripping bunch of lads and fantastic coach and all that. It happened really quickly for me at the end of last year when the spot opened up at the Kangas. I thought, you know what, I do need a bit more of a challenge. I need to try turn 1 year into 2 years and go from there. Certainly the location. I enjoy driving to Arden Street more than Seaford, but we'll just leave that for another time.
With more than 30,000 members on board, never been a better time to jump on the Shinboner Spirit, become a North member. Head to nmfc.com.au or phone 1300 Kangas. Farron, I've got to say, something involving you was my highlight of the preseason when Drew Petrie sent out a little tweet which should duck a picture of Farron's locker, and the bloke down there at the Kangaroos had got in the new locker. Everyone made him feel welcome. G'day, Farron. Great to see you. This is where you put your boots. And on the top of the locker, it says Ray Farron.
It really
gave me a laugh, to be honest.
Oh, well, it makes two of us, mate. I swear, someone stitched me up, or it was a good PR stunt by the club. But I reckon the locker bloke's just got the names in front of him. He's got first years, and he's got this Farron Ray bloke. He's like, look, that can't be Farron Ray. Surely it's Ray Farron, because it makes more sense that way, doesn't it? So, it was very funny, and I think Drew got some attention from that tweet. But, I'm convinced someone stitched me up, either Del Santo or Higgins.
Oh, mate, it was very funny. Now, onto the footy today. You take a fairly strong squad going up there. Pre-season obviously been a good one. Two preliminary finals in a row. Obviously, it's your first year at the club. But everything on track in terms of what you're trying to achieve out of this pre-season, and obviously today is a big part of that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, today's a big part of that. I think most teams would say they're going really well at this time of year. Obviously, building for round one, but North played, as you said, in the last two prelims, and they're trying to have a crack at it. So whatever role I can play in that, I'm not sure what that looks like, but if it's on the wing or playing in the VFL for a bit and then coming in and playing my role, I'm not sure. But as a collective, the boys are set really well. There's a pretty strong list in today. I think Collingwood's got a few guys back in as well, so it'll be a good hit out. And I think I'm the only one of the only North players that's played up here in your town, Ducks. So I played up here in 2014. So
there you go. It's a lovely town. I'll give you a couple of tips. I'll tell you what. Where are you staying?
We're staying at the, I think it's the McCure. I'm in my room, but yeah, it's the McCure.
Oh, the McCure just off the main street there. I tell you what, there's plenty of water.
Well, where should he go, Duck? After the game tonight, where should Farron go?
I tell you what, there is not a lack of watering holes in Wagga Wagga. In actual fact, if you walk up the main street, Farron, this morning, just go for a bit of a walk and stretch the legs, I reckon there's 20 watering holes on the main street, so it's you're not short. You won't be short of a good time. I do want to just touch a little bit more on the footy, because at the end of the day, if the Kangaroos are to go on and win a premiership and get past that preliminary final, it's not going to be on the back of Drew Petrie and the older guys and Waite and Boomer Harvey and Del Santo and all of those guys. It's going to be the improvement of guys like Luke McDonald, who in his second year, probably in and out last year, I think Dumont, these sorts of guys, if they can obviously clearly give you more depth, but if they can come in and give you a little bit more of a spark, that'll go a long way to the Kangaroos taking that next step.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the age of the list and a lot of the champions of the club, but I don't say this lightly. Coming in, I've been really impressed by a lot of the younger guys. Guys like Mason Wood had a terrific game last week. Taylor Garner's pressure is the best I've seen. It's terrific. Magic Door, he can come in and play a role. So, and we picked up some ripping kids this year. Corey Wagner, Declan Mountford, Mitch Hibbard. So there's some really good kids. So I reckon there's a really good balance now at the club. So whatever role I can play in that, I can't wait. But it's exciting times.
Farron, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck in the blue and white this year. Maybe a great year for your footy club and for you personally.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to Farron Ray. As I said, jump on phone 1300 Kangas and get yourselves involved. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, you had me in stitches last year when you were explaining to me about the Kardashians, et cetera, and the family tree. This is a family that you're quite enamoured with following, it'd be fair to say.
No, not religiously, Howie, but I keep my eye over it.
You certainly do. You explained it to me last year. Well, I went to interview a bloke who's racing in what's called the Stadium Super Trucks over here at the V8s, and his name was Bert Jenner. So I was on the way to interviewing him, and I had a busy day, so I'm on my phone, typed him into Google. This is the preparation you do to look up a little bit about him. Turns out Bert is the son of Bruce Jenner, who to me was the Olympic decathlete. Then I went back to think about your conversation and it right. started to all get a bit confusing for me, Duck.
Well, it's not that confusing, Howie. So Bruce's first wife, Christy,
right.
That's Bert's mum.
Right.
So that's Bruce's first wife before he married Chris.
Right.
Kardashian. Okay. So
right.
Bruce is now Caitlin.
Well, this is where it got confusing
so, yeah,
for me.
So Bert's dad is
yes.
Caitlin.
Right. Well, I sat down with Bert, and before we got to all that, this is a man, Duck, that grew up racing cars. He doesn't look like your Kardashian-style operator. He's got a beard. He's got a shaved head. Lovely fella. He won a reality competition as far as, but not like the Kardashians. It was a car racing competition. He won $100,000 in that, but didn't invest it in car racing. You know what he bought?
What?
He bought a dog hotel.
What a dog hotel.
A dog hotel in LA, which has gone so well. He's now got three of them. So your dog goes in, it gets its own room. He gets a full screen TV, the mutt. He
wow.
gets massages, etc. So it's like a luxury dog hotel.
Only in LA, Howie.
Exactly. But now Bert, very nice fella. He sort of loves going out in the woods and racing his cars. So he's different to the other side of the family tree. But it did come up, his family. And I had a chat with him about his dad, Bruce.
I would like to say a little more than last year, maybe the past six or so, the Kardashians have brought a lot of attention. But yes, this last year has trumped them all.
How's that going for you, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a roller coaster at times. I get defensive of my father, particularly from the paparazzis and stuff. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who just don't have respect. And that's hard to watch a family member go through. Kind of have a short temper, so I don't deal with it that well.
Yeah, fair enough.
But other than that, I've actually been closer with my father than I have ever been, which is extremely nice. It's been something I've waited for decades. I've known for, I've been saying 26 years now for a few years, so I don't know what it is, but I've known for the better part of 25 to 30 years. So it's nothing new to me. It was something I was always trying to keep quiet for a long time.
So, Duck, this is for a program on Network 10 called RPM, which is about motorsport, which is coming up in the next few weeks. You'll hear it. So I was starting to get a little bit deeper than I was meant to be talking about
Howie,
shock absorbers and cars.
I couldn't believe it. You just took that into a whole different hemisphere. You
were... We don't have Today Tonight on Channel 10, but I think that's the path it was going down.
Well, exactly. Bert was saying that he obviously knew that that Bruce was, you know, I guess, battling inner demons in terms of, you know, what I guess revealing himself and you know, who he really wanted to be. And sounds very supportive of his dad.
Absolutely was, and it was
I know you get very confused by this because there's names everywhere, but as I said, Bert's mother is Christy, his father is Caitlin.
Yeah, and it was a fascinating conversation. He went on to say that his relationship with his dad, Bruce, who's now Caitlin, obviously, is a lot better than it's ever been because he felt in the past that it had been based on a lie and now it was based on the truth. At this point, I'm thinking, crikey, I'm not sure how we get back to Stadium Supertrucks. So we just sort of continued down this path and asked him what's it like being involved with the Kardashian family and whether he sits down and watches them on TV.
Not only are they human, but they are pathetically... let down. So, I mean, I sit here, I know them all as my family. I love them all very much, but I know they're also very human. I don't think there's anything special there. To me, that's just the norm, you know?
The world's obsessed.
That's a weird phenomenon. It's not because of them, it's a phenomenon of the way the viral thing works. It's just weird.
Do you sit back there and watch the Kardashian show?
No. I did for the first couple years, every once in a while.
Bizarre? To watch your family like that?
Yeah, and frustrating just because you know it's... you're just going, come on, really? You know, so you're just going, why am I watching? You know, and then you turn off, but...
You seem the most unaffected dude I've ever met.
The back of a Bronco, sleeping with a dog, yeah. We'll do that to you, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But thank God for friends to keep you humble. And I guess that's it.
That's Bert Jenner, son of Bruce. I've wandered into a sort of exclusive. I think this could go international.
This could be massive, Howie. You might be on E! News over there in Hollywood. But I love the way he said they're pathetic. But
didn't hold back, Bruce.
They're pathetic, but I love my family.
But I love them.
Yeah, pathetic.
We'll put up a photo on the DSL Twitter and maybe the Triple M website so you can see what Bruce looks like. He doesn't look like your sort of Kardashian side of the family. Bert. He doesn't look like the Kardashian side of the family, Duck, it'd be fair to say. I've shown you a photo. He looks more like a lumberjack.
Yeah, he does. He's got the big beard going.
Anyway, did that entertain you, being a man that follows all this?
I was sitting here just laughing at that whole interview. I can't believe you, of all people, would do an interview like that.
I thought I was meant to be talking shock absorbers, and I got into the Kardashian family tree. Plenty more to come. Next, though, it's time to talk sports bet with Richard Hummerston, Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, and Bert Jenner on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, time to talk some more V8s for Coates Hire. They'll make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coateshire.com.au. Time to welcome the nicest bloke in the pit lane. As far as I'm concerned, his name is Garth Tander. He joins us now. Hello, Garth.
Morning, boys.
How are you, Garth? Mate, it's obviously very, very hot conditions over there. You qualified ninth in race one, 18th in race two. Any issues in race two?
Yeah, we had a bit of a drama in the last run in quali. I made a small mistake and ran wide just when the track was getting faster. The track actually was finding a bit of speed as well. So my mistake put us down in 18. So a bit of work to do this afternoon. As you said, it's going to be pretty hot in Adelaide, 39 degrees. So it'll be pretty warm in the car, probably 65 odd degrees in the cabin. So a bit of work to do in the heat this afternoon.
Mate, that's what I was going to ask you. Howie has said to me a couple of times this morning off air, he said, you know, it is seriously hot in that car, like 65. How tough is that? And he said you can lose up to 3 kilos.
Yeah, well, obviously you sweat a fair bit of that out. So a lot of hydration in the lead up to the event. We sort of saw the long-term forecast and realised how hot it was going to be. So putting a lot of water in the body over the last week or so to be ready for that. But yeah, as you know, you'll sweat that out pretty quickly. So we'll drink through the race anyway. But yeah, look, warm in the cabin. You know, it's usually 60-odd degrees, so it'll go up a little bit more, 65, 67 in the cabin. We'll be in there for around an hour. So, look, it's warm. It's a lot like, basically, because with all your driving gear on, your suit, your helmet, your fireproof underwear, all the rest of it, it's a lot like running a marathon in a sauna with a tracksuit on. So it's
wow,
pretty warm.
But,
we do the training for it and we're ready to go. It shouldn't be too much of a drama.
Yep.
Garth, give me a ballpark figure on how much your car would cost if I wanted to buy it tomorrow. Ballpark.
Well, given your huge media salary, Howie, you'd probably, yes, it's chum change for you, but it's probably around, I would say around $550,000, $600 to buy one of these things, yeah.
Okay, so Garth, how many cars on the market worth $600,000 don't have an air conditioner? Seriously, mate, good, you've got 38 point engineers, you've got technical blokes, you've got telemetry. Surely all you blokes get together and say, we'll give up 5 horsepower for a weekend like this and stick an air conditioner in.
You'd think so. You'd think
you
so.
Would.
But like, it's part of the challenge. I mean, you know, if it was easy fitness-wise, then, you know, it brings the level down. So, look, at the end of the day, all race cars are hot. It's funny, we were taking some people for rides around the track yesterday, some corporate guests, and every single one of them that jumped in the car in the afternoon, it was probably only about 35 degrees. I said, geez. It's pretty warm in here. They're not really built for comfort, are they? No, they're built for speed. There's not a lot of comfort options ticked when we order the car, that's for sure.
Other than the heat, what's the hardest thing about the Adelaide track?
It's probably the mental strength and the concentration. You know, it's because it is so hot and you do obviously get a little fatigued, a little dehydrated. It's keeping the concentration up because it's a street circuit, because the walls are so close, because there's so many bumps and so many curves, it's very easy to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, there's not a long way to go before you're chewing concrete. So so keeping the concentration up is probably the second biggest challenge for the week, for sure.
Garth, we look forward to seeing you perform today. As soon as you get out of the car, I'll have a nice cold water for you, ready to go before you speak to us on Network 10. Best of luck, great man.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Great to speak to Garth Tander. Talking V8s for Coates Hire. They'll help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coateshire.com.au. From one big name to another, different type of horsepower. You know who's joining us next, Duck?
Who?
D. Oliver, legend.
Well, the Best jockey in the world.
That's it. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Duck, as you know, it'd be fair to say I'm a fan of the Norm Smith medalist, Cyril Rioli.
Yes, he's a, well, he's a star.
He is a star. Hawthorn put out a video this week. Jump on hawthornfc.com.au and you'll see it. It's basically the little guru, Cyril, going out to a school and presenting a young man who doesn't know he's coming with a Hawthorn membership and Cyril Rioli jumper and junior membership, etc., etc. So Cyril goes into the classroom. It's shot. The young bloke doesn't know it's happening. You see the young fella's reaction. And then the young fella, he's probably, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7, just gets overwhelmed by the fact Cyril's there and breaks down in tears. This is what happened.
Where's Sean? Sean here? Sean Woods? Yeah? This is yours. Come down and present you with this. Here you go. Oh, are you okay? Oh, can I get a hug? That's pretty cool. What do you think? Is that all right? Yeah?
Cyril Rioli came into my class and got me and took photos of me with my whole class. I felt all excited and all nervous.
And what did you say to Cyril when you saw him?
I said, hi, Cyril, and I gave him a hug.
What would you say to Cyril?
You're my favourite player and I love you.
And I love him too, but when Cyril said, oh, give me a hug, that's because a young bloke broke down in tears. You just overwhelmed her.
That is, but seriously, really nice. Just listening to that, and that's the first time I've heard it, it's emotional. You can hear in the young fella's voice how happy he is, and you can see Cyril, you know, like that's very touching, Howie.
Yeah, so check it out on the Hawthorn FC website. And I was saying to you this morning, I don't know about you, but since I've had kids, I wasn't a great crier, Duck. I just got back from Dubai. I cried 3 times on the way home in 3 different movies. I just cried anything. Now I've had children. It changes your emotional level for some reason.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I've always been a bit of a, behind closed doors, a bit of a crier.
Right.
But not just at, you know, at movies or shows or whatever, but not just at things like the Cyril moment just then. You know, happy things, sad things. Yeah, no, I've always been a bit of a sook.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, I was leaving the track last night. Jamie Wincup, maybe 50 people waiting for his autograph. Chaz Mostert, maybe 80. Greg Rust, they were queued up around the Adelaide street circuit. They love him over here. Now time to chat to the great man with all the latest motorsport news thanks to HSV's Gen F Runout. Hello, Gregory.
Cue the crickets. That's what it would have been. Hello, you boys.
Hello, Rusty. How are you? Hey, mate, what a big weekend in Adelaide. Obviously, you two would have been out last night having a couple of just nice red wines, a beautiful red over there. But talking about Chaz, broke his leg, a little while ago. And where did he finish? Where did he finish in the
Qualifying.
This is an amazing story, Duck, an amazing comeback. So you're absolutely right. Massive crash at Bathurst, breaks his leg, serious knee injury as well. Has been out of the car only up until recent weeks. Did a test at Winton before coming here to Clipsal. And even people like, you know, Mark Scaife and others have just sort of said, hey, you know, take your time, settle back in. He walked with a little bit of a hobble. But man, he comes out yesterday and grabs one of the pole positions, and what a return to V8 supercar racing. That's great for his confidence, but it surprised a lot of people. I think that's fair to say for sure.
Mm. Yeah, he was pumped when he got out of the car, as you were all over it too, Rusty. Now listen, 39 degrees. I was explaining to Duck today that the car temperature will get up near 70. I have asked a few people this weekend, and I joke with Duck about why you don't have air conditioners in the car. And some people laugh at me and some say, listen, you're going to lose 5 horsepower, but if everyone had it, we'd all be on equal footing. Some of the drivers, they love the heat because they think it gives them an advantage over the rest of the field. But when it gets to that hot, Rusty, I think they'd have to almost consider the OHS situation as well, wouldn't they?
They're actually very serious about it, Howie. So to the point where in the various operations manuals, if it is above 32.9 degrees, I think it is at 8 in the morning, they must run the cooling systems in the cars. And there's various things that they have. So there's a box that sits on the passenger side of the car that pumps cool fluid through a chest vest that they wear underneath their race suit. And it's got lots of hoses or capillaries in it. So it's designed to keep the body cool. There's a cooling fan that runs through the helmet and things like that. But I mean, this will be an enormously taxing day today. They're saying 39 degrees here in Adelaide. You can absolutely bet they'll lose in the order of three odd kilos during the race. And Howie, you may remember when we first started doing this race back in 1999, there were blokes who were falling out of cars just because they weren't physically fit enough. I hope that doesn't happen today, but this is going to be a big, big test for sure.
Yeah, I was explaining to Duck that it gets to the point where they have trouble putting their feet on the pedals because it gets so much heat. The roll bar adjustments in the car, Duck, near the end of the race, Rick Kelly was telling me yesterday, sometimes you can't even put your hand on it with your racing gloves on because just the heat emanating out of it, it's quite frightening.
They lose 3 kilos. Howie, if you lost 3 kilos, you'd be invisible.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
I'm just sitting here looking at you and I just thinking 3 kilos off that big frame of yours would...
Yeah, that'd hurt me.
Tiny.
F1, Ferrari's done pretty well. I think the Mercedes will be the team to beat in a couple of weeks in Melbourne, but Ferrari's showing good form with Sebastian Vettel and the entertainer this Kimi Raikkonen.
I think most of my colleagues in Europe that have been to the testing in Spain think it will be a Ferrari-Merc battle, and that Ferrari will be a bit closer this year, which is good. So you're right. I mean, Vettel's had a very good run. They've wrapped up the testing there overnight. 5 of the 8 days they were quickest. But they feel as though Mercedes wasn't able. Lewis Hamilton wanted to do what he described as a knife-edge run, so really put the Merc to the test. He didn't get an opportunity to do that, so some feel as though they haven't completely shown their hand. Melbourne will be very telling, those opening practice sessions, guys, so can't wait for that in a fortnight. And today, here as well, most capped driver in history. Craig Lowndes hits 251. He eclipses the record held by Russell Ingall. And there'll be a special moment pre-race for him where we celebrate that milestone.
Yeah, it's a great effort. He's going to do a lap around the track beforehand. So, fantastic news. Thruster, we appreciate it. We'll see you out trackside, brother.
Great to catch up, guys. Cheers.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Ducky, last week you ran through your top 5 young players set to explode on the game, and number one was Ollie Wines. It just about blew up triplem.com.au. So today you're bringing us the top 5 most valuable big forwards in the game.
Yes, Howie. And the way I've ranked these is how important they are to their team and the teams that I think will play finals. Now, clearly Jesse Hogan's a young up-and-coming player. He's going to be a superstar, but I don't expect Melbourne to be playing. So I didn't put guys like Jesse in there. Stringer, not probably a big forward, but he's a genuine superstar. So just wanted to clarify those things. Nick Riewoldt, who is an absolute star, as we know, haven't got him in the 5 purely because I don't think the Saints will be playing finals this year. So therefore, I'm valuing it on that.
Okay.
So to go through the list, I think Jeremy Cameron from Greater Western Sydney, he's an absolute star. He had an okay year. He had a pretty good year last year. The year before, a bit quiet. Obviously, a very good first year. I reckon he's about to burst. He's a real star key ingredient in Greater Western Sydney if they're to play finals.
Yep.
I think Tex Walker for Adelaide had a massive second half of the year. Captain, second year as captain. Obviously, a very emotional year last year. A lot riding on his shoulders.
He's been a revelation since taking over the captaincy as well, hasn't he, Duck? A lot of people had their eyebrows raised when he was handed that position.
They were, but he's one of those guys that people follow. He says jump, they say how high, and that's what you want your captain to be. Great fella. Jack Riewoldt, as I said, Nick would be in there if I thought St Kilda were playing finals.
Yep.
Jack Riewoldt, I'll tell you what, he's NAB Cup form, Howie. Jumping Jack.
Yep.
He looks super fit. He's timing. He just looks really good. I love the fact that he's no longer a stay-at-home full forward. He's a centre-half forward now. He gets around the ground. He's an absolute star. If he performs, he has a good year again. He was All-Australian last year. He performs well again, and the Tigers will certainly be finals bound. Kennedy from West Coast. I think he's the obvious Coleman medalist last year. He's an absolute star, and he will get a lot of opportunities. Obviously, with Darling's the other one up there that you could throw in.
So that's 4 you've put in there, and Darling and Kennedy is a package. So have you got a number one? Have you come into your number one top five number one most valuable forward in the game?
Yeah, the other one that I left out that I should mention is Tom Hawkins and Ruffy and those guys, but Ruffy will miss a fair bit of the season. Tom Hawkins is a gun, but didn't get him into this list because he's more of a stay-at-home. Lance Franklin is number one. He is ready to burst.
You think?
Oh, no doubt. Apparently, he's had an exceptional pre-season, which I think you have to have if you're going to have a big year, Howie. I think that given what he's gone through in the last 12 months, and given by the sounds of things what he's been sort of holding back, now that he's addressed those things, he's come back, he's refreshed, I think he's going to have a massive year for Sydney, Buddy Franklin. I still think he's the number one forward in the game.
If he plays deep, does he play deep or does he play up the ground? Where does Tippett work?
He roams far and wide. Tippett spoke to Stewie Jew actually last night on the phone in AFL Live, and Stewie Jew was saying that Tippett is ruck, float forward, and actually he had a little bit of a dig saying float forward but not get there too early. In other words, not get in the forwards road. But he plays his best footy when he's floating forward and kicking goals. In actual fact, in the second half of the year, Howie, when he kicked all those goals,
yep.
He kicked a couple of bags of three here and four there. He was playing in the ruck at the time. So he's too easy to lock down on as a forward. So when he's in the ruck, he plays better. But Lance Franklin, he's still the number one forward when he's up and going, and I think he'll be up and going this year.
I like it, and for all footy fans, hope so, because he is an absolute treat to watch when he is on fire. Next, more footy, Farron Ray from the Kangaroos, Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Duck, big names work at Triple M, but none bigger than our next guest.
He's one of the biggest, Howie. He won two BNFs at the Kangaroos in probably one of their strongest eras of all time.
And his name is Wayne Swass, and he'll be having a smile on his face now. Hello, Swatter.
Oh, I've got a smile, but I feel I'm going to get whacked here. Howie, g'day, Duck.
How are you, buddy?
We don't do that on this show. Hey, listen, we'll talk footy with you
in a
moment.
Positive, Swatter.
We
this
are.
Is
that's
a positive
what we're
about. Show.
That's a new duck thing.
Are you gearing up for a big ride, mate, which is fantastic. A four-day bike ride across Victoria's West. Kicks off tomorrow, 42 riders involved. But more importantly, it's all to raise money for Ronald McDonald House Charities, which is a beautiful thing. Tell us about it, and well done for getting involved, Swatter.
Oh, no, you know I'm an avid cyclist, Harry, so they don't have to ask me twice. But I was lucky enough to do a couple of days with this pretty impressive group of people last year and maintained some friendships through that. So when the opportunity came up to join it for the entirety, I jumped at it. And I've got to say, McDonald's have been a great sponsor of Triple M footy for a long, long time. But having had the privilege of 2 days with this group of people last year, they're an amazing group of people. Really, really successful in their own right, but more importantly and more impressively, they do a power of fundraising work. So I think the goal this year is to raise towards $500,000. They raised that last year, and over the last 5 years that they've been going, they've raised well over $2 million.
Absolutely. It's an amazing organisation, as you said, Swatter. It's been going for a long time. And you're right, you've been doing a lot of riding. You didn't like training when you played footy, but all of a sudden you're a massive massive bike man. Give the bike, what bike do you ride? Giant, is it?
Got a Giant Propel. Got electronic gearing. It runs Altegra gearing, and it is the top of the range.
How tough is this ride? Is it a tough 4 day event?
It might be tough for a couple of people, Doug, but yep. It's a reasonably flat ride. So anybody that's done a bit of training should enjoy themselves. I think the biggest thing we've got to concern ourselves with, boys, is we've got some hot weather coming. So it might test a few people out, but it's relatively flat.
Now, it's for a great cause, so I'm not going to be facetious. But do us all a favour and don't put all your lycra on. Just wear the normal stuff. We don't need to see you riding around in all your skinny lycra.
Duck, I look good in it, and I'm going to wear it, and I feel good wearing it as well. There will be some other guys that I would agree with what you've just had to say, but we've got to look beyond that and think about the kids
yes,
and the families that we're
on.
Doing this for.
www.rideforsickkids.com.au is where your donations can go. Swatter, you've hosted this show with me plenty of times, and I do recall you coming in here in your lycra. I'm not sure you look that good in it.
Oh, I look better now, Howie. I'm up at playing weight, so I feel pretty good about how I'm
Are you excited about the footy? We saw a bit of the GWS and the Swans. GWS, where are they going to finish, Swatter?
I think they'll finish higher than the Gold Coast Suns. Big Mummy, they've got some important inclusions coming back this year, and I think none more so than Shane Munford. So Look, I think if they can stay fit and healthy, I mean, they showed what they were capable of last year. I think a good result for the Giants would be to finish somewhere close to the eight. If everything went really well, they could possibly sneak into eighth spot, but I think they're going to have a much better year than the Gold Coast Suns. And I interviewed a couple of Essendon boys during the week at a community camp, boys, and they still think, even though Jared Ruffey, Dad Hawthorne's still the team to beat.
While we've got you, Swatter, your old team, Sydney, one of your old teams, the Swans, they've got some real concerns down back. Obviously, in another injury during the week to Rowan, hamstring, he's going on the long-term injury list. They've got Ted Richards, they've got Grundy. They've got some real concerns down back, Swatter. They've lost a couple of those, running types. Shaw's obviously retired. What do they do?
Well, if you listen to what our teammate says, Duck, he's quite bullish, Johnny Longmire. He's quite bullish with what they've got, but I couldn't agree with you anymore. I think that Teddy Richards is, if this is not his last year, then he'd be doing well to get another two. Heath Grundy's a good average player, but he's not a game-breaking type of player in their defensive end. And Reece Shaw's decision to retire, and I think before that, Duck, I think they really started to lose their luster in their defensive 50 when Nick Malcheski went to the Gold Coast Suns. So, well, I don't think that's the only issue, Duck. I think how they play Buddy Franklin and Kurt Tippett inside the same forward 50 is an issue. So I'd still expect them to finish in the eight, but I'd be very surprised if they made their way to a prelim final.
Swatter, we really appreciate your time, but more importantly, get behind Swatter and his ride. Yep. Jump on www.rideforsickkids.com.au. You can see how the boys are going, make a donation, follow their progress, etc. Swatter, we have a joke with you plenty of times, but this is not a funny thing. It's a great thing you're doing. So best of luck.
Good on you, Swatter.
Thanks, boys. And you can see my Instagram photos tomorrow with Lycra on at nice and early 7 o'clock.
Good stuff.
Yeah, maybe not doing that. But apart from that, good luck with the ride. We appreciate it. Thanks, plenty to come on. The Dead Set Legends, Mark Howe, Wayne Carey. That was the Wayne Swashman superstar. John Fitzgerald will join us soon to talk tennis on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist, with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.